Hello and welcome back to the Live Out Loud podcast. My name is Aaliyah and I'm so excited that you chose to join me today. I am super excited about this topic. The title is giving it all away, but I have to say this is the number one most requested topic. Whenever I do a Q&A on my Instagram, most of the questions are about this. Whenever I'm going through my DMs and responding to people, most of the questions are about this. So we are going to be talking about all things singleness, specifically seven things that I myself have learned through the power of the Holy Spirit in 7 years of singleness. Now, let's give a little bit of backstory. Why are you saying 7 years? Did you have a boyfriend? Have you ever had a boyfriend? What is that like for you? Da 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 da. Let's backtrack a little bit. So, 7 years ago, I ended a relationship right out of high school, heading into college, and I prayed a prayer that changed my life. Many of you probably already heard it before, but basically I said, God, I never want to go through that again. The next man that you bring me has to be my husband because I refuse to walk through singleness, or I'm sorry, I'm walking through singleness right now. I refuse to walk through heartbreak and unnecessary pain. For what? Just because I was bored? Because I was lonely? No, there's too many fun things to do and there's too good of a guy for me to be bored and lonely, okay? So, backtracking, I always say that I've really only had one real boyfriend. Real boyfriend because my parents knew about him. If you know, you know. We were allowed to go places by ourselves. We could go on dates and hang out. And so that was like my one real boyfriend. Now, this relationship was, it lasted about, I'd say, less than 6 months. However, I had known this person since elementary school. We grew up in similar neighborhoods and went to the same schools. So I had known him for a very long time. So although our relationship was brief, I can say that it was probably a lot more intense than most couple of month relationships when you're 17, 18 years old, just because we'd known each other for so many years. And also he'd had a crush on me for a long time. So obviously I don't know why you wouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. He did have a crush on me for a long time, but that's not why I'm saying this. Okay, let's move on, Aaliyah. So anyways, it was a brief relationship, but as we were ending, we went to prom together, grad parties, all of the senior year of high school fun things, and summer was kind of coming to a close. I just knew that he wasn't the man that God had for me to marry. And so I had to make a decision. I could go into college with this long distance relationship that already didn't have the best communication and just was kind of a little bit immature and toxic in ways. Or I could say, you know what? I'm going into college as a clean start, a clean slate. I knew then, and I still do believe, that college is a really important life step because you are able to now branch out on your own. I mean, you're under your parents' house and they're covering for 18 years, and it's the first time that you're actually away and forced with making decisions for yourself on a daily basis and forced with, you know, having to confront different things that you didn't realize were struggles and challenges for you. And so that's all how I ended up, you know, growing closer to the Lord, realizing that I couldn't do life without him. But all that to say, I knew that I didn't want to go into college with a distraction, with any hindrance. I knew that this was a new chapter and a new opportunity for me to grow and learn. And I knew that this just wasn't right for me. So I ended that relationship. And although I was the one who made the decision, it still didn't mean that it wasn't hard in ways. It's painful. It's emotional. You spend your time with somebody, you look forward to talking to them, and then suddenly you don't talk to them anymore. Anyone who's gone through a breakup can, you know, attest to that. That is not easy. And so I said, Lord, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to experience pain. I don't want to experience heartbreak if it's not necessary. Like, I know, I knew at that time in my life that everything that I would desire out of a relationship, I could find in the Lord. I knew that. And I knew I just had to seek him and grow closer to him to find that. And so ended that relationship, prayed that prayer. And here we are 7 whole years later, because God, he honors your prayers. Can I just say that? And so in honor of these 7 years of singleness, I was sitting down and reflecting, what are 7 things that I've learned? What are 7 things that have brought me to where I am now, where I can say that I'm single and it not sting? I can say that I'm single and be excited about it. I can say that I'm single and be expectant about it. And what is something that I can share with others who are also walking through singleness to really cling on to in this season and to really change perspectives? So I have 7 things. I'm going to kind of just go through them in a bullet point list, and they all kind of build off each other, which I'm really excited about. Shout out to the Holy Spirit, because I did not do that intentionally. And I feel like a lot of these points could be their own podcast episode. So I am going to spend some time going in depth, but maybe not as much, because I really want to hone in on some of these things in later episodes. So without further ado, here we go. 7 things I've learned in 7 years of singleness. So the first thing I have to say is to live and love right here, right now. Because part of the reason why singleness can feel so hard is because so many of us believe that marriage is when life starts. Marriage is when we get to experience love in real life. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not knocking anyone. If you are in that Christian sphere of social media and Instagram, marriage and family is truly all that you see. And it's for good reason. Marriage and family are things that have been created by God. Marriage and family are gifts from God, and they're things that I deem to be honorable. They're things that are important. But when you are not walking through that currently, and that's all you see, you start to feel like something's wrong with me. I'm missing something. I'm lacking something. I'm here to tell you you're not. You're not lacking anything. You're not missing anything, because you have everything that you need right now to live your life for God and love Him and love others. So I want to encourage that you can live your life to the fullest right now and love God and others exactly where you are right now. There's nothing about your current circumstances that has to change. There's nothing about, you know, oh, I need a man so that I can fully express and experience my love. No, pour out your love on Jesus Christ. Pour out your love at the altar. Pour out your love there. Pour your love. There's that song. It's like, pour my love on you. Like wine for you to drink, like oil from my heart. You know, like sing that song to Him. Get in the moment, get in the mood. Pour your love on God. We have this invaluable opportunity right now to pour everything we have on Him and also on the people around us. Because newsflash, we are so many other things than wives and mothers, husbands and fathers. We have so many roles. And so that actually leads me to my next point, which is focus on your role. There are so many roles that we will have before we're wives, before we're mothers, and if there's any men listening, before your husbands, before your fathers, we're daughters. First of all, we're daughters of God. We're children of God before we are anything. I'm a servant of Christ before I'm anything. But even in the natural, I'm a daughter to my parents. I'm a sister to my siblings. I'm a friend to my friends. I'm a granddaughter to my grandparents. I'm a niece to my aunts and my uncles. We have these roles, and those roles won't go away when you get married. We get to devote ourselves right now to the Lord, devote ourselves to our families and our friends, our church and our community. Because beyond marriage, the second most requested topic people are asking me about is friendship. And this is women who are married. This is women who aren't married. This is women who have kids. This is women who have no kids. Friendship is important. Now is the time that we get to invest in friendships and meaningful relationships, because that's going to come. And once it does come, once we do get married, once we do have our children, you're still a friend. You're still going to be a sister. You're still going to be a daughter. Probably sound like a broken record. My parents moved across the country. I live with my brother. And this season has really shown me that my role, a huge part of my role, is being a sister to him. Listening to how work was when he gets home. Watching football with him on the weekends. Going out to breakfast. Going, you know, having and investing in that relationship, because there will come a day when he's married and has his own family, when I'm married and have my own family, and I'll always look back to this season and remember. Why do I cry every episode, bro? It's literally been 2 episodes, and why am I already teary-eyed? We have to think about how it feels to God when he's given us amazing family, amazing friends, an amazing community. He's blessed us so much. And we're like, thanks, but that's not a husband. Thanks, but that's not babies. Rude. Hello? He's given us so much. You can ask him. Ask him to show you. Ask him to show you the roles that you have right now, that you can invest, you can pour into. Because I have to say that when you're pouring into and investing in those roles, when you're seeking God fully, it honestly starts to feel like, oh, I'm not really missing anything. I'm not really lacking anything. And yeah, I would love to get married one day, but like, I'm actually not missing anything. I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm doing what he wants me to do. Now, the next thing that I have to say is it's been an interesting journey for me to get here. And at first I was like, is something wrong with me? Because what's going on? But this third thing is you can be content while still contending for a spouse. Now, what I mean by that is your desire for marriage does not have to come from a place of discontentment. And this was honestly kind of weird for me because I started to, like maybe about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I started to realize that I was growing in my contentment and singleness. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I really don't feel like I'm missing anything. I don't feel alone. But dang, like, I also really want to get married even more. And I'm like, God, what's going on with me? But I had to learn that our desires do not have to be birthed out of a place of discontentment. We can be fully satisfied with where we are now while still contending and believing that there's something else that God has for us in the future down the road. And so I think that we sometimes fall into this trap of thinking that if we pretend like we don't want it, we'll get it. Like if we pretend like, oh God, I don't actually want to get married. Yeah, you do. So voice that to him. Tell him you want to get married. Pray for your husband now. Pray for your future family now. You do want to get married. That's okay. God created marriage. Marriage is a great thing. It's honorable. It's to be honored. The Bible says marriage is to be honored. So that's a good thing. Bring that before him and ask him to help you. You know, I had to ask him to help me because the Bible tells us to hope, to pray, to believe, to expect. And it's in these moments where our intimacy is deepened the most. I just had a prayer time. I was praying for my husband and have like a whole little petition I wrote out a couple of years ago of just different things I'm believing for our marriage and different scriptures I'm speaking. And honestly, it's in those moments that move me to tears because I know that I'm not praying in vain. These tears are not being wasted. This is all seed, or you know, the analogy of these prayers are seeds that are being sown. My tears are watering them, that there I'm going to reap a harvest of that. I fully believe it. So I can contend for that. I don't have to pretend like I don't want to get married. I don't have to pretend like, it just happens when you least expect it. So let me stop expecting. No, I'm expecting it. I really am. I'm expecting it. And it's going to be great. So don't fall into this trap or this lie that you have to pretend like you don't want it. No, you can want it. And that's okay because guess what? Point number four is desiring doesn't automatically mean idolizing. And hear me out. Maybe you're like me. There's been times where it seems like I've been hit over the head with don't idolize marriage. Don't idolize marriage. Don't idolize marriage. I was like, okay, I won't idolize marriage. But in doing so, there have been some of us who have been afraid to fully allow ourselves to desire it because we're afraid we're going to idolize it. But you can have a desire for something without it being an idol. And don't get me wrong, I know there are people, there's been times in my life where it's been an idol, where it's been all I've been thinking about, where it's been like, oh, you know, when you go like to a church function or you meet somebody, you're like, is he my husband? Is he my husband? Can I see myself with him? Well, what would our kids look like? What does his last name sound like with mine? You know, like we've been there. And yes, that is not a healthy mindset to be in, but you can fully recognize that you have this desire for something without it hindering or taking away from your relationship with God. I mean, to idolize is to desire and long for something more than we long for God. You know, nothing should actually replace him, but taking this desire to him could actually be something that furthers our intimacy with him and not replaces him, you know? So don't be afraid. You know, the issue isn't desiring. It's more so asking ourselves, why am I desiring this thing? Is it because I desire to be loved? Is it because I feel lonely? Is it because I see other people getting married and I feel left out? You know, we have to really recognize where our desires are stemming from, hand them over to the Lord, and allow him to give us our desires. Because the Bible says that he grants the righteous the desires of their hearts. And I used to read that scripture all the time and think like, oh, yes, God will give me everything that I want. No. Actually, I've now interpreted it to mean, oh, when I lay everything at the feet of Jesus, my desires start to become his desires. And so I want to encourage you that desire does not automatically mean that you're going to idolize something. You can desire marriage. It's a good, it's a beautiful thing, but you have to know that will never complete you. That will never satisfy you. That will never be able to replace what Jesus Christ has done and who he is as Lord over your life. And again, building off of that, number five is you can be honest with God. It's okay to pour yourself out to him. I mean, not every time I've been praying for my spouse has it been so beautiful. Sometimes it's been like, God, this feels like torture. I'm going to be honest. There have been prayers I've prayed where I said, this feels like torture. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I almost got close to praying that prayer, that scary prayer of take this desire away from me. I got real close. But we can be honest with him. He longs to be our refuge. It's not embarrassing or shameful to admit that you're struggling with singleness. He knows that, actually. He knows how you feel. But it's when we pour ourselves out to him. You know what I think about a lot? Is how David is called a man after God's own heart. And I'm not ashamed to admit, I love the Psalms. I'm emotional. I'm ooey gooey. I want to pour my heart out. And if you honestly maybe struggle with that, start reading the Psalms and seeing what David was saying to God. And he wasn't, and don't get me wrong, he was never disrespectful. He was never dishonoring, but he wasn't afraid to be honest with God and pour out himself. And that is why I believe David was able to be called a man after God's own heart, is because he first emptied out his heart so that he could be filled up with God's heart. And so we have to know that it's okay to admit that we're struggling. It's okay to admit that we have this desire and that it feels like a burden at times. It's okay. See these moments as opportunities to grow in intimacy with him. See these moments as opportunities for him to meet you right where you are. You can be honest with him. You can let him know how you're feeling. He knows how you feel, but bring it to him. Create this dialogue, this beautiful exchange with him. This is such an incredible opportunity to pour out the most intimate and vulnerable parts of our hearts to him. He sees it. He knows it. And he's protecting it. I remember one time I was praying and God was saying, I'm gentle with your heart. Our hearts are special to him. He cares about our hearts. So you can be honest with him. And okay, number 6. Again, going off of that, God isn't playing games with you. Hear me out. There was a moment, there was a season where I felt like God was dangling this carrot in front of me, being like, oh, gotta be quicker than that. It felt like I was just like running on this treadmill trying to chase this donut, and the donut was like continuously being further and further away, but I was on a treadmill, so I wasn't actually moving any closer to it. And I had to realize that's wrong. That is not God's heart. God is not playing games with me. He's not just dangling something in front of me. Oh, do you want it? Do you want it? That's not That is not God. That's not his heart. And I love that because I really came to know that singleness is the perfect time to examine our hearts and allow God to reveal many of the lies we've been believing about his love and his character. You know, it can be hard to believe sometimes, especially for those who really desire it, that it can be hard to believe that God is good if he's allowing us to endure something that's so painful at times. You know, we look around and it feels like everyone's having their prayers answered except for yours. But we have to, again, it's the heart check. Who are we to demand blessings from him? Now is the time to seek his word and learn about his character and what it reveals about him. Because the notion that he's playing games with us, that he's messing around with us, he's playing with our hearts, that is inconsistent with the word of God, and therefore it is false. No further points, Your Honor. Mic drop. That's where I'm at. If it is inconsistent with the word of God, it is false. So where in the word of God do we see God playing games with people and just puppeting them around? Hee hee ha ha. You want that? No. But what do we see in the word of God? People turning their hearts from him. People turning their backs on him when he's been nothing but good, when he's been nothing but great. That's what we see in the word of God a lot. But never do we see him. And even when they were doing that, even when they turned their backs on him, even when they sinned against him, what did he do? Shower out his love, send his son to save us, to redeem us, to free us. That is the greatest love story. That is the greatest thing that we could ever ask for. So no, I've been there too. He's not playing games with me. He's not messing around with my heart. This is serious. But he knows that I need the most important thing before I could ever be a a wife or a mother. I need the most important thing, which is him, and a true revelation of him, and an intimacy with him that goes beyond my feelings. So that is what he wants. Sometimes I'm noticing about myself, I get a little serious. If I get a little serious, it's because I mean it. But I promise I'm not mad at you. I'm not yelling at you. I get a little serious, okay? All right. And this last one is something I just talked about on my Instagram. So if you did not see, I did a little get ready with me. Was kind of explaining my thoughts as I was getting ready for a wedding. And this last one is a big one. And it's one of my most recent revelations. Is that celebrating others won't take anything away from you. I'll say that again. Celebrating others won't take anything away from you. So now, hear me out. I know what it's like to go to a wedding and wish that was you. I know what it's like to go to a baby shower and wish you were the one pregnant. I know what it's like to feel like you're celebrating everyone else except for you. I know what that's like. I'm living in it. I'm walking in it right now. But God has changed my heart and my perspective because he's allowed me to see that celebrating others and their marriages and their families and their babies is just an opportunity for my joy too. These are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I'm happy that they've gotten to experience that. I'm happy that they're starting their family in their new chapter. I get to bear witness to that. But it's not taking away from me. Going to this wedding is not prolonging my singleness. Someone else getting engaged is not pushing my engagement date back. We've got to really know and understand that these are just opportunities to celebrate someone else along the way, along the journey. I think the biggest thing that I had to come to a realization is that if God wanted me married, I would be married right now. That's a big reality check, but it's true. If you are someone who is submitted to the will of God and you said, God, I want your will for my life, and you've denied your desires, you've denied your ways, if God wanted you married right now, you'd be married. Now, hear me out. Does that mean I haven't had the opportunity to get married? Oh, you best believe these men have proposed to me. I'm just kidding. I'm not actually, not with a ring, but you know, I just know you're my wife. I feel like you could be my wife. Like, you know, I've had that opportunity, but I knew that wasn't who God had for me. So I'm going to wait as long as it takes to have who God has for me. And in the process, I'm going to celebrate my brothers and sisters around me. I'm going to use that as an opportunity for me to learn, for me to grow. Because when I first had this revelation, I realized how sweet is my wedding day going to be when I get to experience becoming one with my husband and when I, not physically, not in that way yet. I meant like, how sweet will it be on my wedding day when I'm dancing with my husband or when I'm sitting in the reception, I'm looking around at all the people that I got to celebrate and champion along the way. And now they're there celebrating and championing me. And I knew that I wasn't envious. I knew that I wasn't bitter. I knew that I didn't have resentment towards them because their marriages came first. No. Now they get to pour all their wisdom and all their marriage and all everything that they've learned into me. I've truly seen the longer I've stayed single as an opportunity, as a blessing to grow and to learn. So I want to encourage you to do the same. Because envy and jealousy is real. And the Bible describes jealousy as like cancer in the bones. It's not good. It can spread and it can be detrimental to your faith and to your life. And so when we look at our friends as enemies and threats and we're envious and jealous instead of seeing them as our brothers and sisters in Christ on the same team, all living our lives for the same cause, championing them, we get to celebrate them. Their joy gets to be your joy too. So we don't have to sit around envious and jealous, feeling left out or alone. We get to celebrate them. Their joy is an opportunity for our joy too. We get to have joy along the way. We get to have joy in this journey as we grow with God and as we grow with others. And so I know that was kind of brief, but I wanted to again just give a quick overview and share 7 truths that I've clung to, 7 things that the Lord has revealed to me in these past 7 years. And so I'll list them out again. Live and love right here, right now. Focus on your role. It's possible to be content while contending. Desiring doesn't automatically mean idolizing. You can be honest with God. God isn't playing games with you, and celebrating others won't take anything away from you. Okay, I think I'm just going to end it right here. I don't really have much to say, but I love you guys, and I pray that this just encouraged someone. I'm super excited to dedicate more time to intentionally talking more about singleness and where the Lord has brought me to and what he's brought me through, because I know for a fact that I'm not alone in this. I've seen it too many times. I've seen too many questions and interacted with too many people. I know that this is really important. And I know that if we encourage and equip singles here and now, we are building up our church to have healthy and thriving marriages and beautiful and flourishing families. So it all begins right here, right now in singleness. I love you guys, and I actually want to say a quick prayer for everybody listening, whether you're single or not. I want to encourage you, so I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the breath that we are breathing in our lungs that comes from you, oh God. I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice, whether wherever they are in their relationships, whether they're single, married, dating, engaged, wherever they are in their relationship with you, whether they're far from you and longing to draw near, or whether they're you're their best friend, God. I just pray that you would cover them with a peace that surpasses all understanding, God. I pray that you would reveal to them that you are all that they need to live a life that is pleasing to you. You are all that they need to live a life that is glorifying unto you. And so, Father, I thank you right now, God, that you would meet every single person where they are. And I pray that you would show them that you are more than enough to satisfy every single one of their desires. I pray that we would yield our desires to you. I pray that we would use singleness and wherever we are as an opportunity to draw nearer to you. And ultimately, God, I just pray that your name is glorified and your name is magnified, and that everybody gets the chance to know you. And I love you so much, and it's in your name I pray. Amen. I love you guys. I will talk to you in my next episode next Monday. Bye.